that the resolution be inherently unviolable.
Okay. I take it that's a dissenting question, and I'm glad. I'm glad. You know, we should hear it, we should discuss it, and we should test my ability not just to advocate reasonableness, but also test my ability to be reasonable. So I'm going to try to give you a systematic and comprehensive response, and I'll acknowledge to begin with, it takes courage for you to ask that question in what's obviously a hostile audience, and I acknowledge that. I mean, you're showing more courage here than the IDF showed in Gaza, but that's a separate question. Okay, so let me begin. Number one, not to split semantical hairs, but I didn't advocate anything. I want to be clear on that. What I did was tell you what the record of the international community is. I said every year the highest political body in the world, the UN General Assembly, the most representative political body in the world, votes for the two-state settlement, the resolution of the refugee question based on the right of return and compensation. Every year, the whole world on one side, Israel, the United States, some South Sea islands on the other side. The highest judicial body in the world, the International Court of Justice. It says Israel has no right to any of the West Bank and Jerusalem, West Bank and Gaza. It says Jerusalem is occupied Palestinian territory. It says the settlements are illegal under international law. On the question of the refugees, the most respected human rights organizations in the world, Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch. Now, bear in mind, as I make plain in my remarks, I don't personally have much regard for them. But if you were to ask a general audience, what are the most respected human rights organizations in the world? Most would say Amnesty and HRW, Human Rights Watch. Now, both organizations in 2000 and 2001 published official position papers on the right of return. And both of these organizations stated that there can be no question that the Palestinian refugees and successive generations who have maintained genuine links with the land have the right of return. That's their position. So it's not me that's saying it. It is what I take to be, and I think a fair-minded audience would also take to be, the most representative political organization, judicial body, and human rights organizations in the world today. Now, you say, or I gather from what you say, that if one of these rights were implemented, the right of return, it would compromise what Israel takes to be its right. But the international community doesn't agree on that. You can't both claim to adhere to the rule of law and then tell the Palestinians that they are somehow obliged to renounce a basic right of their own because you don't like it. You just don't have the right to do that. What you do have the right, in my opinion, to do, what you do have the right to do is to make Palestinians an offer for a settlement of the conflict such that they say, rather than exercise my right of return, I will choose your settlement offer instead. Obviously, a right means you don't have to exercise it if you choose not to exercise it. I often give the example, so you'll forgive me if you've heard me on YouTube, that I'm not comparing suffering. Believe me, I am sober enough to know magnitudes of suffering. I'm simply trying to demonstrate a principle. I was denied tenure at DePaul. The grounds, in the opinion of many, including my lawyer's opinion, the grounds are transparently false. The university itself acknowledged that I was an outstanding professor and a prodigious scholar. So how could you deny me tenure? My lawyer says, if you go to court, you'll win, you'll get back your right to return to DePaul. But she says to me, it's going to take a very long time. Tenure cases, if they're argued in court, they take six years. And she says, you really want to devote the next 6 years of your life to reliving the nightmare at DePaul? And I said, well, not really, because I have bigger goals in life. I don't really care about academic freedom because I never believed it existed in the first place. So she says, okay, if we're agreed on that, then we shoot for a settlement with DePaul. And the settlement has to have two components. One, there has to be an acknowledgement by DePaul that had libeled me during that last year. And indeed, they did at the end acknowledge I was an excellent professor, teacher, and a prodigious scholar. And then there had to be a financial component to the settlement. We argued, we negotiated, we debated, we fought. It was ugly, mostly. In the end, there was a settlement, and I chose the settlement, and I didn't go back to DePaul. Does that mean I didn't have a right to return? Oh, no. I certainly did have a right. But if you don't want me to return, and DePaul sure as heck did not want me to return, you have to offer a reasonable settlement. And I don't think, in principle, the settlement is different with the Palestinians. Number one, Israel has to acknowledge the colossal injustice it inflicted on the Palestinians in 1948. They have to acknowledge that. The official position of Israel is we will not accept any moral, historical, legal responsibility for what happened to the refugees. Well, that's a non-starter. If DePaul said to me, we're not going to issue a statement, I would say, then we're going to court, and I'm coming back. Israel cannot begin by saying, we don't accept any responsibility for anything. That's a non-starter. And then there has to be some sort of financial offer. Now, does that mean the Palestinians will accept it? I don't know. I can't tell you that. What I can tell you is, I'm no expert on Palestinians, but I spend quite a lot of time there. I have a lot of very close friends. One in particular, Musa Abu Heshesh, from Fawar camp outside Hebron. And he tells me frankly, he says, Norman, I'm very conservative on this right of return. And he takes me to the place where he and his family grew up, a tiny little hovel in Fawar camp, one room, very large family. He says, I'm not going to give up that right so easily. So I said, okay, then what do you want? And he says, let them make us an offer. Let me see the offer. I think most Palestinians are reasonable. There are ways to resolve the conflict. The problem is not insurmountable obstacles. And the problem is not that the Palestinians are unreasonable. The problem is Israel wants everything. Israel doesn't want to acknowledge, accept the most elementary, basic principles of international law. The Palestinians renounced their claim to 78% of Palestine, and what did Israel do? It comes along and decides we're going to build a wall, and we're going to keep another 12% of the West Bank, and we're going to keep the best water resources in the West Bank, and we're going to keep the most productive agricultural lands in the West Bank, and we're going to build this wall so it circles the aerial settlement in the north and cuts the northern sector in half. Then it's going to build this wall to encircle Maale Adumim in the center and cut the middle in half, cut the bisect the West Bank in the middle. And then, after chopping it up, reducing it to fragments, stealing everything worth settling, they say, that's our offer. And that's the problem. Be reasonable. Acknowledge the wrong that was inflicted. I think the conflict can be settled. You have to be honest about that. It's not my opinion. It's not my opinion. You have to ask yourself one simple question. And you have to keep repeating the question over and over again. Why is it every year, the whole world on one side, Israel, the United States, Nauru, Palau, Marshall Islands, and Micronesia on the other? Why is that? Is the whole world anti-Semitic except for Nauru, Palau, Micronesia, and the Marshall Islands? Are all 15 justices on the International Court of Justice anti-Semitic? All 15, including the one dissenter on the major vote, Bergenthal from the United States, a Holocaust survivor, all 15 said all the settlements are illegal under international law. Are all 15 judges anti-Semitic? Is Thomas Bergenthal, a Holocaust survivor, anti-Semitic? Is Rosalind Higgins, the British judge, who's Jewish by birth, is she anti-Semitic? Or is the problem that Israel, backed by the United States, they only want one thing from the Palestinians, only one thing from the Arab people? They want submission, submission, submission. And I don't think the Arabs or the Palestinians are obliged to submit to this state.